Welcome back to Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts. We are your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. And this week, we're going to get a little bit organized.
Yeah, props is all about staying organized and keeping track of probably about 1,000 pieces of information.
Yup, and we all know how crazy that can get. So we're going to share some of our favorite tools that we like to use to keep ourselves organized during a show.
Right, yeah. I'll just start off because I started propping several years ago, not as long as some people who have been propping. So a lot of the technology has been changing, you know. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, a lot of it was on paper and pen, which I still do a lot of, but a lot of these digital communication tools that we use nowadays were in their infancy at one point. And there was a time when you were like, I don't even know if my designer has email. I'm going to have to make a phone call because they don't have an email address yet. I can't text them because they don't have a cell phone. I don't know if they have a cell phone. So there was like a period of time when there was a transition when you're like, did they get a cell phone yet? Oh, I could text their assistant because they have a cell phone. So like, luckily now it seems to have kind of all settled and you could basically assume everybody's got an email. Everybody has access to a computer and Dropbox and all of that. And hopefully has some kind of smartphone so you could like text them or email them and get an answer sort of right away. But yeah, this kind of stuff has changed quite a bit in just a short amount of time.
Definitely. And you can always tell today, at least I think you can, who is a little bit more tech savvy than others when you see that AOL account still.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, I understand.
Right, yeah. Yeah, let's start off with one of the tools I use the most, and I think a lot of places use, is Dropbox. Mm-hmm. For sharing information. So this is a cloud storage service. You basically put files in just like on your computer, but they're accessible to anybody else that has that Dropbox. And it, mm-hmm. you know, you could see the files on your phone. It integrates with your computer so that it acts just like a folder on your hard drive. And it's really great with some caveats.
Like storage.
Yes. Yeah. We pay for the business package, which gives us a lot more storage than the free version. When you have that free mm-hmm. version, as soon as people start adding like too many pictures, or heaven help you, they stick a video in there or some sound files, all of a sudden you're like out of room and you have to start deleting things and things like that.
You get that video and you're like, oh wait.
The sound, the projection designer starts dumping their files on there like, no.
Like, please stop. I just need a picture of this chair.
Yeah. Yeah. And they seem to have fixed this problem, but it used to be if one person like deleted files, then they got deleted on everybody's Dropbox.
Oh, that's right. And yeah, I think they definitely did fix that.
Yeah. And even if you just like drag and drop a file off the Dropbox to your computer, it erases it for everybody else. So you would get the poor like, usually it's like the managing director or somebody up the food chain who's a little clueless and they would like drag everything off of it and everybody's like, where did the files go?
I feel like that happened to me a couple of years ago when we went onto the Dropbox and went, where's our show?
Oh, no.
I mean, there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. And we found out later that one of the general managers just wanted to save it all to their computer, but accidentally erased everything.
Right, yeah.
And it was just all gone. We were like, okay, it's cool. Text next week. No worry.
So now, luckily, it gives you a little warning. It's like, do you want to mm-hmm. delete this from the Dropbox or just from your computer? And they back it up for everybody. So if it's, you can't really ever delete it from Dropbox, you could still kind of get it. You know, you could re-download it after a while. You just kind of unshare the folder with yourself. But so it is really good because it's any kind of file, you know, anything like that. But yeah, there was a great article in Stage Directions magazine. Corey Paddock, who runs the N1 podcast, wrote sort of do's and don'ts of Dropbox. And probably the big one that I agree with is that when you put something important in Dropbox, you should tell people there's kind yes. of a notification system, but the worst thing is when a designer, you're waiting on some research and you're like, when am I getting that? And they're like, oh, I put it in the Dropbox last week. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's happened so many times.
It's like, oh, look, that's been sitting there this whole time. I didn't know.
Yeah, that happens to me, or that used to happen to me quite a bit, is when I first started using Dropbox, I thought notifications automatically happened. You know, oh, so-and-so just added this to the Dropbox.
Right.
Great. So I even didn't think to tell someone, hey, it's to the Dropbox. I would eventually tell them if it came up in an email or something, like, oh yeah, it's there. And then I would also notice I would be waiting for information and being like, it's been 3 days. Where is this drawing? And then I'm texting or emailing them. They're like, I put it, it's in there. I was like, oh, there's no notification.
Yeah, I get some designers will dump a whole bunch of research images in there. And that's usually helpful because you could kind of, you know, scroll through all of them, see their research. It's not, you know, if it's not labeled or anything, then you don't really know why they picked a certain research image, or if it's for a specific prop or just mood or something like that. But you could still, you know, if you get them on the phone, then you could kind of both be looking through the Dropbox together and be like, oh, this image, that's for this. Oh, this is the, you know, the bar stool I want. This is the phone booth I want, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. And other than Dropbox, there's another, I guess you could say, cloud storage called box.com. And for the longest time, I thought it was Dropbox and people were just like, you know, being cool and call it the box. I was wrong. Reason I'm not a cool kid. And from what I understand, though, it is exactly like Dropbox. So I don't know if they're owned by the same people or what, but if anybody out there uses box.com and Dropbox, I would love to know what you think the differences are, because I do not.
It's definitely, especially with these cloud storage group kind of things, it's kind of like what the company you're working for has kind of bought into and invested in, and what other people can get invested in. You know, Dropbox, a lot of institutions use it. And then again, you can get a free version. So if you're just kind of getting an outside designer in and they don't have it, they could just kind of join and add it and use it there or something like that.
Exactly. And some other cloud storage things. don't know what other word to use there. we always have, if you have a Gmail, you can use Google Drive. I love using Google Drive because I can just create my documents in there and share real easily, and it has a huge storage and all that jazz. But if someone has, you know, Yahoo or AOL, that's going to have a problem getting into it.
And, yeah.
You know, all that jazz.
Yeah. It's kind of more of it's its own kind of walled off garden kind of thing, you know? And you make Google Docs and you make a Google spreadsheet and a Google, you know, it's, you're not necessarily sharing files. You're creating the files on Google Drive.
Correct. Correct.
There is the one great thing about Google Drive that's better than Dropbox is Dropbox, if somebody opens a file and they're editing it, if you go to open it on your computer, you're going to create a copy. And so then there's going to be two copies of it and they're not being edited at the same time. You can't do that. With Google Drive, more than one person can be editing a document at the same time. And the great thing is you actually see their cursor on your screen and you watch them type as they type. So you could almost be messaging each other as you create a document. I mean, that's what we're doing with the podcast right now. We could like type something in and the other person sees it immediately, you know, and you're both like editing a document. So that's really great.
And with Google Drive, you can also have comments going on the side, like a live chat on a document as well, which is nice.
Yeah. And so they have the spreadsheet too. And I do know some props masters who like to create a props list in a Google spreadsheet and share that with their stage management team so that they can be editing the same props list at the same time. And they can both know that they're seeing the same one. It's not like with Dropbox where you upload a file and then they save it to their computer and you're like, did you save the latest version or are you still using the old version or something? With the Google Drive, you're just both looking at the most up-to-date one.
Yeah. I feel that Dropbox is great for sharing images and research and drawings and stuff like that. And Google Docs is great for all of the documents that will be changing on a continuous basis that can be updated live instantly.
Yeah, I always think of it like Dropbox is when you want other people to see your files, and Google Drive is when you want to create files together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, to collaborate better. Yeah.
Yeah. What are some other ones that you've used?
I really love using OneNote, and I don't use OneNote necessarily to share with directors or designers. That's more to share with the prop shop staff, because a OneNote is literally a notebook on the computer. You can have tabs, you can have folders, you can have sections, subsections. You can write all of your production meeting notes on there. It does the same thing that Google Drive does in the manner of two people can be on one page at the same time editing, and it's live. It's changing. You can see it change. You can see it add. When I was at Yale, we would put our shopping list on there, and I would go out. You could put it on your phone. I could check off the boxes of what I just bought, and my boss in the office can be like, oh, she already bought those things. She's already left Home Depot, so I won't ask her to go back to Home Depot and get this item. We'll get it on another day. You know, so it kind of speeds up the process, which was really nice. And you can upload documents into it. You can put your schedules, your contact list, your props list in there, and all that jazz. It does get a little bit funky with adding in documents, though. It's not as nice as having your props list on a Google Drive, and you can change it in there, and it's easier access. For the OneNote, it's more just like in-house use.
There's another service I've heard other props people use called Evernote. I think there's a free version, and then if you want to actually share it or that, then you need to start paying for it. I believe it started as an Apple service. So people, especially props people who kind of carry around an iPad at all times, it's a lot easier for them to like integrate Evernote into everything. They can just take notes during meetings. I know you can like, you can use the stylus or your finger to kind of handwrite notes to yourself, and it'll either save the handwritten note or it'll like turn it into text if it recognizes your handwriting. And so they have like all these folders and things, and they could kind of pull up images at meetings or like pull up an image and message somebody right away. So it's really kind of like keeping themselves organized as opposed to some of these other things where it's like keeping the entire production organized.
Yeah. And I used to use Evernote, not ever in a prop setting, actually. I used it when I was in college to keep all of my school notes organized. And I remember liking it. And I don't know why I didn't continue using it for shows. But from what I remember, it was very nice and very organized and very easy to use. And like you said, you can have it on your iPad, your iPhone, all that jazz.
Yeah, you know, with all these tools, I mean, I've kind of like tried out a lot of them over time. And I just keep, I don't know, it's hard to like get invested in any one and stick with it, because it's like things move too fast to kind of keep updating your computer. So I actually, I actually end up defaulting to paper and pen for a lot of things. And I know that's not the best. There was one time I had this entire shopping list, and it was after tech, and I was at the Walmart. It was 3 a.m. I was trying to shop while I was staying awake. And I had this list in the back of my pocket, and then I was over like in the grocery section and I couldn't find my list, and I'm like, oh no, that had everything on. It's not backed up anywhere. Where is it? And I retraced my steps, and like back way back in the craft section, I saw this folded up piece of paper still on the ground at the Walmart at 3 a.m. So, you know, it has its drawbacks. But what I actually started doing, you know, I'll do this especially during tech with my assistant or anybody working with me. I'll keep the paper list of all of our to-do notes, and then they could like scratch off what they do. They could just look at that and pick whatever note they want to do. And at the end of the night, we just take a picture of it and send it to each other. So I'm always taking a picture of the paper so that I have digital nice. Backup of the notes. But for some reason, it's like, I don't know, having the tangible paper, I know there's nothing like hiding anywhere. Like you have some computer program and you're like, oh, wait, here's another document. I didn't know there were more notes on this page. It's like, yep. If it's on a pad of paper, that's where it is. It doesn't exist anywhere else. It's not going to crash. It's not going to do something weird where it auto saves an old version or I don't know what. Somebody's going to accidentally type all over it. My kid's going to sit on the keyboard and mess up a bunch of notes. Everything. Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, I've noticed that I honestly go back and forth. There will be days where I'm like, I just want to write all my notes on paper. And then later in the day, I'll upload it all onto the computer. So it's all there. But I do go back and forth, even with tech. I always have my computer at tech, but sometimes during tech notes, I'm like, I'm just going to use my pen and paper because I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just nice to just write it down. And then it's also very nice when you have a huge to-do list, it's very nice to just cross it out.
Yeah.
And be like, haha, I did it. Mm-hmm. Instead of just like clicking a button and going, check.
And you know, I am usually just working with like one other person, so I don't need to deal with like really complex kind of shows. I can kind of keep it all track. I'm sure if it was any more complex than that, I might be looking into these, but
yeah. And speaking of to-do lists, I've actually just got into a few different apps for specifically creating to-do lists. One of them is any.do, and another one is just called the To-Do List app. And they both go on an iPhone. I would assume they go on Android as well. They are on web-based, so you can bring them up on your computer easily. And I'm still trying to decide which one I prefer. And I do this all the time with any type of application. I spend several weeks like testing them out. I'm like, okay, which one do I really like? It's ridiculous. We spend way too much time into this. But both of them allow you to create to-do lists, like separate kind of sections. Like you can have a grocery list, and a shopping list, to build list, to buy list, yada, 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 all that jazz. And you can have subcategories. You can add notes to each to-do, and you can add pictures into them as well, which is nice. And you can put reminders, due dates, all that jazz. Both of them have a paid subscription to them. I'm using the free one on the any.do, and then I got the $3.99 version for the to-do list app. And what I'm liking more about the to-do list app is that you can create projects and then pull up that project and have all of the to-dos for it step by step, subcategories. This has to happen before this. This has to happen at this time, yada, yada, yada. Upload documents, links, all the information to that, which is really nice. And I'm finding that I like more than I thought I would. And then the any.do, you can share your to-do list, which I like a lot. So if I have, you know, this is our buying list, I can share that to my assistant and they can go out, do it. It's live. So once they've checked it off, I can see that they've checked it off, all that jazz. And you can add notes to it as well, just in case, you know, be like, oh, by the way, da da da. So far, I like them both. Stay tuned to see which one I pick.
Right. Yeah, I feel like I'm always looking for something like that. I'll do like a Microsoft Word document where I kind of do a to-do list, you know, all the props, what do you need to do for each of those. And then I like to, you know, copy and paste all the rehearsal notes as they come out so that those get in there as well. And I could kind of like cross them out as I do them, keep track of what I've done, keep track of what I've put into the props list and what I still need to update on the props list, you know, when I catch up with my paperwork and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And that's what's great about these apps is you can create a section just for rehearsal reports.
Oh, yeah.
And then put in all of your notes. And then the next day you can go and organize of like, oh, this has to be done. You know, this is a priority and all that stuff, which is cool.
Yeah.
My only biggest problem with all of these apps and Dropbox and Google Drive and OneNote, Evernote, all that is there's just so many options.
Yeah.
And there's great parts here, and then there's great parts here, and and you wish you could just like have just one that did all of the things.
And it's especially tough when you like start off a show being all organized, and then as things get busy and you get closer to tech, you stop being organized. And that's, you know, it's the moment you need to be the most organized, but exactly. You're suddenly like, well, I'm going into tech, but the prop list hasn't been updated in 3 days, and there've been all these ads and all these changes and drops, and now we're switching things around. And yeah, I always, at, you know, once the show opens, I like to photograph and catalog every prop in the show. And that's always, no matter what, there's always like, oh, this is no longer on the props list. Oh, now they're using three of these. Wait, this has changed. Oh, my word.
Yep.
It's amazing how quickly things change in tech.
It's so true. So we were talking about sharing documents and notes and all that jazz, but we also definitely have to share research images. And we spoke a little bit about how Dropbox is great for that, but there's also other ways of using that. And one of my favorite things is Pinterest.
Yeah, I've had some designers who will like send me a link to a board they created. Sometimes they'll put sharing permissions on it because they want me to add to it.
And like do their job.
Yeah. It's it's good though. I mean Pinterest is fairly easy to use, you know, and you can just kind of throw a bunch of images up there. And a lot of them, what's good is that they have a link to the page, and I'll be looking at a Pinterest board with a designer, and they'll be like, now click on this picture. It'll take you to the page where there's more pictures and things like that. And it's always like, you still have to figure out what they want from all the research images. So I still like to, as I'm talking with my designer, if they point to one specific research image and they're like, oh, I really like the fireplace in this one, then I'll like pull that image out. And what I usually do is I'll put it on like a Microsoft Word document. So it's like the fireplace, you know, project page. Here's the research image. Here's all the information we got from production meetings and what I talked with the designer. So I could kind of like have a single page or two pages of like, this is all the pertinent information about this specific prop. So if I have to deal with it, or if my assistant or apprentice or artisan has to deal with it, it's like, you know, as much as I do, this is what we need. These are the measurements. Is there a drafting or a drawing? Is there just research? Is there like something they said offhandedly? Like, I want it to be soft linen covering it sort of thing. And again, with the paper and pencil, sometimes I'll just print out the picture and like circle it. Like, they want these sconces.
Then put it on the wall.
Yeah. Remember this. Big cork board.
I do have to say, I am still a fan of Post-it notes. Whenever I'm at my computer, Post-it notes are like all around my computer. I'm like, okay, do this, do that. And I'm trying to get better to taking those Post-its and translating them onto my computer. Because with all my notes and stuff, I do that. I always put it onto the computer into OneNote or whatever I'm using. But for some reason with Post-it notes, I really love having them on my computer because I'm like, oh, there's so many things to do. And it's like, I'm going to pick this one and I'm going to crumble it up and finish it. I get like, it's weird.
Yeah. I still, I have a big
Post-it notes a lot.
Yeah. I have a big whiteboard calendar for the whole season in my office just so I could like, if I need to step back and see everything, it's like, all right, there are 4 weeks until tech and I have this many meetings before, you know.
Yeah, we had a huge calendar in our Yale office as well, and it was very nice. And then at the end of the day, you would just cross one off.
Yep.
You'd be like, one day closer.
Yep. You could see if there's like a clump of meetings coming up. You're like, oh, that week's going to be busy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of calendars, with Google Drive, you can actually share your calendar. And I know on Outlook, you can also share your calendar, which is great to do with your boss or your assistant or something. So you know, okay, I have to go to this meeting at this time, instead of just constantly telling them, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it's just, they can pull it up and they're like, okay, they have this, great, done. You know, instead of hunting them down.
I've noticed more and more people using meeting scheduling software. The one that comes up the most is Doodle. I don't know if you've ever had a Doodle poll. It's pretty easy. They, you basically put your name in and then you pick, they have a bunch of times and dates that they're suggesting, and then you pick the ones you like the most. It's pretty basic. There was another service we used once, and I forget what it was, but you actually pick like yes, and then there was one, instead of just yes or no, there was one where it was like, I can possibly do this, but I don't prefer it. Something like that, like maybe. And then I guess it like adds it up and it kind of averages out which is the one that the most people can make it to, sort of thing. I don't know if you could set it up by like importance, like if this person can't make it, then we can't have the meeting or what. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Doodle's great because it doesn't force the respondents to sign up for the service. You know, so you feel free to send it to whoever you want, and they put their name in and they click the boxes and that's it. They're not signing up. They're not creating a password and a login.
Yeah.
Which is
nice. It is horrible. Nice.
Yeah. I've had groups outside of theater actually using Doodle as well. So it's becoming pretty widespread.
So at the beginning of this episode, we said that technology is changing the way we organize and everything. And I want to ask you, how is it changing your way of doing prop Bibles? Do you still do physical prop Bibles, or are you changing into only doing digital prop Bibles? Or are you doing prop Bibles on a regular basis?
I actually do both. Again, I really like the printed one, because I like to know that all the information is like there and it's not hiding anywhere else. So I'll have like this printed Bible and it's like, that's the sum total of all the information. And I keep that. I keep files of all of that, and I'll refer to it now and then just to pull up some information from a past show. But it's like, you know, digital files go out of date. You know, old files can't be read anymore, or things get corrupted, you lose things, your hard drive crashes, yada yada. So at least there's something. But I do keep I keep both. So what I do is like, I'll at the end of every show, if I have any printed stuff that's not in the computer, I'll scan it in. And if I have any digital stuff that's not in paper form, I'll print it out. And so I'll have the Bible with like the most important stuff in print that goes in the file. And then the digital version will have all that plus like all the extraneous stuff as well, like every show report, every rehearsal report. You know, I'm not going to be printing all of that out, all the research images, you know, all the paper prop files that I created for the show, you know, like Photoshop files and things like that. So it's much, much more comprehensive for the digital one, whereas the paper is like, if I lost the digital files, do I still have the information of what I put in the show?
That makes sense. Yeah. For me, I only do digital these days. I used to do that and keep, you know, partial physical and then the rest digital. But these days I'm trusting technology way too much. That's what's happening.
Oh yeah.
it's going to hurt one day. One day something's going to happen. But for me, it's just so much easier to search. You know, it's Control F, type in the word, and it pops up the document and all that jazz, you know? So for me, it's just so much simpler. And then trying to save paper, attempting.
Right. Well, I feel like maybe, you know, one of the differences is since I'm a staff member at a theater, I'm keeping the paper at my office. I'm not taking it home. Yeah. I don't have to lug it around with me. I don't have to worry about it. And it's just like, you know, when you keep it on the computer, once you leave, people don't know that you kept it, or, you know, they don't know where you keep it on your hard drive or something like that, and yada yada. Plus, we had this weird thing. So our shop is like 7 miles away from the theater, but we're connected on the same computer network. So if I want to actually archive anything to the server, not just my personal computer, it's got to go like, it is so slow to upload it.
Oh no.
Because it's going over this like weird connection. It's not over the internet. It's over like the company intranet, but it's 7 miles away. So it's like, Maybe I'll dump something on there, like drag everything at the end of the day and let it like upload overnight. It's not the kind of thing where I need, if I need a piece of information right away, I can't just like pull it up instantly. It's easier. It's faster to go into my paper files and yeah. flip through a bunch of them looking for it.
That makes sense. Ugh. Yeah, at Yale we have, at Yale we had a similar thing. And it was actually called the G Drive, which when I first started there got very confusing because I was like, oh, Google Drive. And they're like, no, it's the G Drive.
It's the G Drive. What's that? It's different.
But it was. Yeah. It was this connected server with all the computers on campus, which was nice because if you were downstairs working on a computer and you needed to go cross campus to another computer to do something else, you could bring up the same file.
Right. Which was yeah. Nice. I do feel I'll probably move more and more into digital as I go. Like I just got a laptop that's actually fast enough for me to use on a regular basis. So that and my phone, it, you know, mm-hmm. if it's easy for me to like pull up the digital copy wherever I am, then maybe I'll be less liable to rely on paper since I forget it.
What?
I find legal pads everywhere that'll have like a few pages scribbled notes from a show like, oh, right. Yep. They already talked about the candles.
I've definitely had that problem where I'll just find random notepads. And I was like, oh, that show like 4 years ago.
Yeah. Scribbled down notes. Desk must be under 4 foot. Oh, wait.
You're like, oh, okay.
Don't forget to buy ammunition.
Or it's like a half-written sentence because someone interrupted yeah. you and you didn't have time to finish it. Those are the best. Because then you're like, what did yeah. this mean and what was it for? Well, guys, I think that's all that we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you learned some tips on organization, and let us know what ways you like to stay organized for your shows. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Silk Mache and email us with any questions or ideas for future episodes you'd like us to talk about at propspodcast@gmail.com.
And subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Check out our website at silkflowersandpapermachehearts.com, where you can find all of our old episodes as well as a link to our Patreon page. With Patreon, you can sign up to donate a small sum on a monthly basis to help support this podcast. And if you donate over a certain amount, we will thank you personally at the end of every episode. So thank you, Jay Duckworth, Woo-hoo! For doing just that.
This has been another episode of Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We'll see you next time.
Bye.